there's more that could be said there, but any questions or at this point? Now, you didn't have any last time, but...
So, I spent some time in Spain. This was like, I don't know, 10 years
ago. Okay.
I spent some time in Spain helping out some missionaries. All of the ones that I was helping were associated with missionary agencies. And they were always, like, in the red. And I guess my question would be, like, how much, like, overhead costs? Like, mission agencies need money to run. So
yeah.
When you as a missionary are going out and trying to gain support, does the mission agency like add an extra burden to the missionaries? Like you have to raise this much money in order to go out to the missionaries with our agency.
Because
I'm out of money to run the agency.
Right. You remember Jack and Polly Martin again, right? $65,000 a year in salary, $125,000 in outgoing cost. 20% of both of those figures went directly to the organization. 20%. Those are real numbers. So 20% of their salary every month, you do the math, 20% of $65,000 went to the mission agency every month, whatever their monthly salary was. That's a tremendous burden. They justify it because they say, well, we got to do this. Logistics are expensive, right? And so, you know, we have to pay the salaries of everybody in the home office and we have to do all of this. But, and let me just say that not every agency is exactly the same. Some of them do better. They're a little more efficient than others. Now, the Master's Mission didn't take anything out for the longest time, and then when things got rough, that was the organization we were with. When things got rough, they decided they're going to start taking out 4%, right? But they asked all the missionaries first. They said, would you guys be okay? Talk to your churches and ask your churches if you're okay with that, right? And so they did that. Now, in their case, the reason they didn't have to take any out because everybody in the office were supported from their home churches. Okay? So that was that. We liked that model a lot. And that was one of the reasons in the early days that we went with them.
Well, it just seemed like there was a lot of threat. Like, these missionaries that, like, they didn't support me. Like, I just went there.
Right. See, that's our problem, though. We don't want to ask too many questions, and we should be asking the hard questions. You should, the church, and maybe not you asking those questions, but their church ought to be saying, what in the world is going on here? They really should be. So, hang on just 1 second. Somebody else in.
Yeah, we don't have any number of missionaries that we support right now.
Okay.
We have missionaries where they have an ascending church, and they have a relationship like what you described. What can our relationship look like with them to where we're supporting them, but we're also like getting in the way by bogging them down? A relationship that they already have over here with their primary sending church.
That's where church partnerships come in my mind, is that if we're going to support missionaries, we're also going to be involved in their churches somehow. Even if it's just conversations between elders or leaders, something like that. Because we have found in our experience that opens up a whole realm of the relationship that isn't there when you just simply send, you know, maybe you're only 5% of their support or 10% of their support totally, right? And then you think, well, if we're only 10% of their support, what really can we say, you know, And what kind of influence can we have with them, really? Because they do have, they're sending church, and their sending church supports them, you know, a whole lot of money, and they got all this going on. But I think having a relationship with their sending church helps with that. It helps to broaden the relationship and actually gives you more input into the missionary's work than you would have otherwise. Because we have found that when churches see you taking the time to contact them because you love their missionary, that changes things for them. It really does. I know it would for us. If we had a homegrown missionary and a church contacted us and said, hey, you guys support so-and-so, right? We just really love them, and what can we do to help? We're going to go, you know, and we're going to make sure it's biblical, but. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul, give us some ideas, some concrete ways that mission agencies intending to serve the church, just taking care of the visa, logistics, stuff like that.
Right.
How, what are the ways that they begin to use serve the church authority?
Well, it's in that knowledge thing. The more that they do, the more special knowledge that they have of what's going on. I mean, immigration was a huge part of us staying overseas. It just was. Trying to keep us there, you know, and doing all the paperwork and doing all the stuff that you had to do to stay there and to live there. And having this card and this paying this fee and doing all that stuff and having a security deposit in place in the government through the organization so that you can stay there. Right, all of that stuff creates this sort of the organization is in the know, and knowledge is power. Isn't that what they say? And so they have the knowledge. That way, therefore, if a decision comes up that has to be made, and it's somehow connected to any part of that knowledge, then the organization says, "Well, we're the ones with the knowledge, so we're the ones that have to make that decision." Number one. Number two. This person is part of a whole organization, and we're not going to let you guys mess up this whole organization because you want to make some decision about your missionary. We've been told that. So they claim that knowledge, and they exert that authority because of that knowledge. And then they'll also be saying, "Well, we're all in this together. We all want to fulfill the Great Commission. No worries here. Sit down. Calm yourself down." You know, and we're going, no, it can't be that way. So, but then there's that. Let me just hang on to that. There's also the issue that the mission organizations see the church as dumb and stupid, unable to do anything, right? You guys relinquished your responsibility a long time ago, kind of thing. And you can't do it now. So just sit down and let the professionals do it. How many times have we heard that in all kinds of things, including counseling? Right? Let the professionals do it. You know, the church might not do it perfectly, and it might not be a clean thing, but we still have to do it. Right? So. Well, it can work. There was a church in Pastor Vile out there in Indiana. Faith Church. Yeah, they actually started to help churches like us to get missionaries overseas. And they would just help with finances and things like that, but they were like totally hands off on decisions or anything. They would just do the logistics. And it didn't matter that they were in the know on certain things. It was like, no, we're just going to do this and this. You guys are doing everything else. You're making the decisions. So it can be done. We even supported the Hines from our church. We processed their donations and we did everything an organization does. Now, I was part of that and had that knowledge kind of thing. Not every church has that. But sometimes in coalitions of churches, you could have that. You could have somebody that has that kind of knowledge and could set something up and you could actually do it. So the possibilities are there. We just don't want to take it. I don't know if because we're lazy or what, but the opportunities are there if we're just willing to partner with other churches or you know, do whatever we need to do to get it happen. We don't have to rely on the mission organizations and give them 20% of our salaries.
Well, I mean, that's not what I was suggesting, but, you know, like, if that kind of thing is not your church's strong suit, you know,
right.
Like, how do you know what the next step is? Like,
right.
You contact.
Well, yeah. You have to do some homework. You have to call around. You have to find out through your connections and relationships or whatever. What if there is an organization that you can work with? That, because one church, not all churches are the same. So there, it might be that this organization can actually help logistically, but they don't submit entirely to the local church, but maybe we could work with them. You know, every church is going to make decisions like that, where they're going to work with certain organizations that they think can actually make this happen. But we have to be very careful, and that's where the leadership in the local church has to be very discerning and very wise in the decisions that are made for the sake of the missionary and just for the sake of the fulfillment of the Great Commission that God has entrusted to that church. So, yes, Lon.
So I have two questions I'd ask you to tie together. Okay. Made some reference already that the time on the field isn't life. It isn't a life or situation. It's more to the requirement, the event, what the Lord calls them to do.
Yes.
How long to be there, right?
Right.
In the event that they are or have been lifers, they're going to retire, we're dealing with a retirement situation with our missionaries. How do we approach this as they come off the field, you know, kind of have the attitude of, well, we don't want to let go of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we also need to know what their financial situation is. So how
right.
do
you would want to. You would want to know what their financial situation is, but you're not their sending church, right? So I would contact their sending church, and I would find out from their sending church what the. You know, some missionaries are wonderful folks, but they're not always entirely accurate on their information, which is another reason why you would want to talk with their sending church, because sometimes you get a clearer picture of the situation when you talk to the church. So I would start there and find out what the whole situation is, and then you make your decision on what to do. If the church says, you know, we really haven't, we didn't think about retirement, so we're not financially ready to do anything with their retirement or whatever. Some organizations do that. They have it all down to a T. It's like you're retiring from IBM or something. I mean, they got it all, the whole package deal, and you send them down to Florida, and that's where they go. They do. It's a big. Some of those organizations are down there, and that's why, because they have these ginormous retirement villages for their missionaries, right? That looks really appealing. It does. I don't know if my wife would want to retire there, but I might. So yeah, you have to get all your information, find out why they're in the present set of circumstances that they're in. You know, so what was that? Two parts? You said there was two questions.
It's just that.
Yeah.
How long we're supposed to be there? I'm just verifying what you're saying.
Oh yeah,
You're not saying that. You know, the life is the right.
No. In fact, sometimes you would want to only go into an area for a certain amount of time. It's going to be best to do that. And just be there to accomplish what it is that you need to accomplish there and then move on. Sometimes missionaries stay in some places too long and they're a detriment to the work there.
Okay, Paul, talk about your team concept of missions because here's what we've heard. Elders are the missionaries. Which doesn't mean you can't go over as a medical doctor, but
yeah.
Let's not call you a missionary.
Right.
But you see that person as part of the team.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does that work then?
It could look multiple different ways. I mean, how does this church look? You know, you got people here who are in doing things other than full-time ministry, all right? But when you're going into a culture like that, there's all kinds of immigration issues and why you're in the country and how you can stay in the country, whether you can declare what you're doing is, you know, my daughter went on a internship to several different countries with an organization that wasn't a mission organization, but it you couldn't even use the word missionary kind of thing. So you have to be very careful how you declare and what you declare and all that kind of stuff. So, but it could look any number of different ways. If we were to use Jack and Polly again as a medical missionary, the emphasis there would have to be, or the question there would have to be, where's the church? Somebody asked that, I think your daughter asked. Where's the church in that situation? Okay, is he operating, you know, from the vantage point of a local church there in that area? Because that's, I would have a problem with that then, because maybe they do need medical work. I'm not saying don't deny medical, you know, assistance in a situation where there's a dire need. We've been in situations where we've seen incredible needs, both with food and medical basic necessities of life, a need level that's just like off the charts kind of thing. And if the church doesn't respond, who's going to kind of thing, you know, or who's going to do it well anyway. But is the church doing it? And does everybody know this is the church, right? And so I think if you're moving towards that, that's the important part of that, is that there is a church involved. There's a sending church involved, and there's a church plant going on there. You know, when Haiti underwent the things that happened down there with the weather and everything and hurricanes and everything, we sent money down there, but we sent it to a local church. We didn't send it through any parachurch organization, but it took us a week to find a church that we could send money to, that we could be confident that it was going to be used for church-related outreach and things that were happening in the area. And so we did that. Then we were able to send it directly to him. That's where fire comes in. You know, fire is very helpful with stuff like that. You know, because they're going to find the church-related ministries, and they're not going to have anything to do with non-church-related ministries, generally speaking. But so,
I might say to the congregation, one of the things that Paul said to me years ago was, when you give someone a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, make sure you mention Jesus.
Yeah. No, it's really easy. There's all kinds of NGOs around the world, non-governmental organizations, doing all kinds of stuff. And many of them are doing that as if they were the church. There are organizations that are doing it as if they were the church. But they don't have the accountability. They don't have the church-based ministry focus at all. They're just an organization. That's all they are. They're not the church. So,
talking to you guys for years, tell us about some of those things that are called missions that are over there, and you've had tons of experience with them in Kenya. We have this mission to feed the hungry, okay?
Yeah.
We all want to feed the hungry, so that's not the issue. But what does that look like on the field, and how did it, was it detrimental? Was it detrimental?
Well, I'll tell you, and I'll attach it directly to some of the things that we've been talking about, specifically leadership development, okay? When we first got to Kenya, we were involved. We were actually supposed to go to a Bible school. I was supposed to teach at a Bible school, but there was some stuff happened, and we ended up not going there. And so I just still wanted to be involved in theological education. And but I didn't realize that the Lord was forcing it back into the church where he wanted it to happen instead of in schools and stuff. And it became very apparent when we moved up north, in the north of Kenya, and we would send these guys down to Bible school, and these NGOs, these non-governmental organizations, Food for the Hungry and World Vision and stuff, would really vulturize these young men. They would hang around the schools and they'd pick off the best and brightest of these men, and they would give them huge salaries and brand new SUVs and tell them, you're our representative now for our NGO. Now, what young man is going to turn that down? As opposed to going back to his village after he gets his Bible degree and get a salary that can't even put a liter of fuel in his brand new SUV, let alone get him an SUV. I mean, So they were snatching up our guys left and right. So we said, that's enough of that. And so it forced us, it was a good thing, but it was detrimental in one sense, but it was a good thing because it forced us to back to church-based theological education. So we started training our guys up there, and that school is still going up there, even though we're not there. I didn't actually even get to see it started. I was working toward it, but the Lord took us away before it actually started. But in the years afterwards, it started, and now in the village where we were, there's the young man that's the pastor in that church was trained in that ministry. So it was a good thing, but it's detrimental in many cases where they just disappear. These young men just disappear into these NGOs and we never see them again. Emma.
Okay. I'm trying to think about how to phrase this question.
Okay.
So many years ago we had a missionary who was a woman who was single and she was in China to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So would you consider, is that something, like we have a, I would say the church in Toronto has a very large single population as well, like, and women too.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a place where those people can go? I mean, they're obviously not elders in the church, but would you still consider using church resources and call them missionaries and put them in a place that would help the local church somewhere? So, mm-hmm. like, whether it be education or medical, you know, there's a church in wherever that needs help in this area, and, you know, it needs someone who's educated this way to go. Is it appropriate for a church to say we have this person, a single male or woman, that we can support and send over there?
No.
So short. That question is so long.
Well, as you described it, that would be counter to everything that we've said in the last day and a half. Now, that said, I think there's a way for her to do that. I'm not saying that there's not a way. I just would not use only church resources, call her a missionary and send her out just like that. I would not do that. Is there, what's that? That's what I would be looking for. I would be looking for a team because think about it. Her little niche that she's doing, important as it is just that. It's kind of a little niche, but if you think of ecclesiology and the whole fulfillment of the Great Commission and planting churches and everything, it comes clear pretty quickly that she's doing maybe an important thing, but it's not the whole thing. And so she really needs to find herself in the whole thing. But we our culture is so individualistic. I mean, we're all about I got to do my thing and I got to get out there and I got to specialize and I got to do this. And it's like, no, you don't. You actually need to find your place in the whole picture, right? And be part of a team.
So because
Both of them. I would say, because when you earmark church resources like that, that's a partnership. You're saying we're putting our stamp on that as a valid ministry that we see is in compliance with Scripture. I wouldn't be able to do that if you know, just specifically in the way that you described it. I don't think I would be able to do that. So what?
Can you describe a team like that? Suppose that it was a nurse. Suppose she wanted to go with human missions.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Her dad's a pastor. It's not going to be a problem. Yeah.
Who really have a heart for missions and being a
But is that supposed to sway me when you say they have a heart for missions? No, and I'm not. Right, right, right. Right.
I mean, you say a team, but what is a team?
Right. No, that's good. And don't misunderstand me when I say it. That's supposed to sway me. There's a whole lot of sentimentalism in missions, that, you know, romanticism kind of stuff that is just not scriptural. It is not biblical. And so we need to be able to see that for what it is. But no, I would be looking to get her part of a team. If I see that she has a real sincere passion for it, that passion is going to come from the Holy Spirit. If it's the real deal. It's not going to be drummed up in herself, and it's not going to be, you know, somebody else next to her saying, you know what, you really need to ought to do this kind of thing. It's going to be the Spirit of God, just like it was in Acts, saying, I want this person, I want this person. And so I think that if that's the case, then we're going to be praying and fasting, and we're going to be looking for opportunities for her to either join a team or do what she's doing, but don't call it missions and don't use church resources. Right? Hang on, real quick, but because when I say that, she can still go over and be a minister and be a testimony for Christ. That's who's yeah, but who says we got to call her anything? Why can't she just go over and minister and be, you know, and be a testimony in doing what she's doing, right? Why not renounce your American citizenship and go become a citizen in another country and do that?
Hey, Paul, I would say that this missionary they're talking about was part of the team, the ELIC. They were part of the
organization.
Some of you are calling her a missionary exactly. But she was part of a team that was in China.
Right. And then she, what, began operating outside the parameters of the team, or what?
She retired.
Oh, she retired. Yeah. Okay.
We're in good standing and everything.
But if this was, this, I mean, not missionary, I don't remember a time when I was able to support her.
Right.
We always call her missionary. This is before we really, I think, started to really look at what our definition.
Right, right.
But, I mean, it was something that I thought about a lot growing up. And
yeah, yeah, no.
We started falling in love with you. We're like, oh, great, now I have to think about this.
Right. Hang on to it. You were going to say something earlier.
Well, I was just thinking I think we kind of answered it. Like, if the team is already there, like, I follow 20 schemes, I don't know.
I do. In fact, we use Mez McConnell's stuff in our church. He's,
yeah, I like a lot of what he has to say.
Yeah. Right, but those women going into that situation are going to be operating in the context of the local church. I know that for a fact.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's like, well, how is she supposed to, like, get there? Like, say I wanted to go over in terms of support. Let's say.
Okay, I got it now. In that case, you're just doing a transfer from one church to another church. You're not really sending her out as a missionary. But if another church contacted us and said, hey, you know, we've got a ministry here that requires women to do a lot of stuff, and we don't have the women to do that here. Do you have any women that could come over and help us? I don't have a problem with that, because they're functioning within the context of that established church over there. We're not sending her into a situation where there's either no church or anything like that. So it's more of a relationship between two churches. And the elders of both of those churches have decided. See, she's still operating within the context of the church and the ministry. Is that so? That's what you were talking about.
Right.
Okay. Financially, I think that church is going to have to make that decision. I don't know that I would probably stand up here and say a mandate about that. I think if a church, just initially, I would think that we could probably see ourselves maybe, you know, financially helping that individual if it was a clear, you know, between two churches situation, and that we're helping that other church. I don't think we would have a problem with that. There might be some other things we would need to look at, but Yeah, I think preliminarily we might consider that. Let me hear. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one thing I think you got to hear Paul saying something here. It's not, we're not going to support someone who does that.
Right.
But when you call something missions,
yeah.
When you say stand missionary on it, then you're saying this is a biblical missionary. And what he's trying to say is, elders are biblical missionaries. Now, we may support this nurse or this person working on a team or in that situation, but the moment we stamp missionary on it, people get the idea, this is what the Bible means by missionary. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful how you label it, because what you do teaches something.
So we need to take the label missionary off of it.
Well, that's what I meant by my question.
Yeah.
Is it wrong to call them a missionary, or is it wrong to support, or both? That's what I meant.
Right.
I understand.
It would.
We can't call a woman that we're sending over a biblical missionary because she's not qualified to be an elder. I get that.
Right.
But, you know, if a church is starting a school and they need teachers, they say, we need to get some teachers over here for a couple of years to get this thing going, would it be appropriate for the church to say, here's a teacher that we have?
I would look at very closely at that situation, again, to ascertain what the role of the church is in that ministry, actually. Because a lot of times, it's the medical work, the educational work, whatever, just seems to rise up above the whole situation, and the church, you know, sinks down and stuff. So we might be extra sensitive now, I don't know, but we're going to be much more interested in what the church is actually doing. Education is great, medical stuff is necessary, people got to eat, all of that. But we have to look at the church. Because I don't have to tell you that all of those other things can be in place and you will spend eternity in hell. Okay? So those are not the priorities.
I remember right, the Grace Covenant ministry policy has a classification for support workers.
Yeah.
And it clarifies that a percentage of the ministry budget is limited.
We self-limited ourselves to 15%. Only 15% of our budget can go towards that support ministry. But that's us.
Explain support ministry, sir.
Well, I mean, anything other than basically the elder is, you know, considered. And that's going to be the teacher. It's going to be, you know, medical supplies, food, whatever. You know, somebody going out to do some other aspect of the ministry. Important things that the church is involved in, and maybe it's an educational thing. Maybe we're sending a female teacher out to help with the homeschooling of families involved. You know, maybe there's a couple of elders out there, and between them, they've got 7 kids, right? And we're going to send her out there to help with their education. Okay, but she's a support worker. She's not a missionary. She's out there to support that work, and the church will even give some money toward that. All right, but we self-limited that. We didn't get into this, but we also self-limited short-term missions. We will give money to certain short-term missions, but pretty narrow parameters, and it's only like a certain percentage up to $500. So it limits that as well. And that's just our way. It's not the only way, but it's our way of putting feet to it, you know, saying this is how we're going to do it. Doesn't mean everybody has to do it that way, but this is how we're going to do it. So, okay? I think our time's up. Unless there's some burning questions. Can I pray? And then, okay. Father, we thank you again for a wonderful opportunity to be together and think through these things. Lord, we know that you give us wisdom from above when we ask, and we ask for that now, Lord, as we think about the fulfilling of the Great Commission and all that's involved there and the many different situations and things that we're seeing in the church and in organizations. Lord, grant, we just pray that you'd grant leadership wisdom, even the leadership here at LaRue, that, Lord, you would help them as they think through these things, and the church as a whole, Father, as they think through what you are accomplishing in and through them with respect to missions. Well, thank you, Father, for all that you'll do. In Christ's name, amen.